I think this morning I really wanted to avoid that message from Romans. I did not want to get out of bed. I felt very sleepy. I mean, it's a week where kids are on break, and I took some time off to be with them and to be with family. And our evenings got later and later, and our mornings got later and later. And this morning was one of those mornings where I realized that maybe this scripture is asking me to do something I'm not quite ready for. Now, Advent begins on a serious note. Our gospel message and epistle both allude to the second coming of Jesus, an important theme that early Christians wrestle with and folks throughout the centuries have been obsessed over. Both passages deal with something cosmic, something incredible breaking into the world during everyday life, when folks are working in the field or grinding flour, or what Eugene Peterson's translation calls the day-to-day obligations. Generally speaking, the exhortation or call to action is to be watchful. And this is a common theme during Advent. It's believed that the celebration of Advent began in the 5th century when Bishop Perpetus directed that beginning with the Feast of St. Martin, which falls on November 11th each year, and until Christmas Day, people of faith were to fast 3 days a week. And fasting, however, has never been very popular among Christians, so it was not commonly observed, and eventually fell out of favor, especially in the West. Later, the Catholic Church abolished the precept of fasting during Advent, but kept Advent as a season of penitence, which means something like repenting of one's sins, offering confession, or stating very bluntly and accurately the current state of affairs of this world, and asking for God's grace and forgiveness and help. Of course, many Protestant traditions followed along this general outline of Advent to prepare the faithful for the nativity of Jesus at Christmas. But not only that, Advent is the Latin translation of the Greek word parousia, which commonly referred to the second coming of Jesus. Today, for many Catholic and Protestant Christians, Advent is a bit of a smash-up. The first 2 weeks of Advent tend to be pretty heavy. The hymns are often in minor keys. The focus is on the second coming of Jesus as Christians are asked to consider why the world needs saving, needs liberation, needs justice. This time is meant to give us a pause, to take stock of where we are in this world and why parts of it feel so broken and askew. Beginning in the third week, we move to a more celebratory mood. The readings lighten up, usually focusing on things like birth announcements and family visits, as we meditate on the first coming of Jesus as a baby in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Why does all this matter? And what does it mean to be watchful during this season? Being watchful, after all, kind of sounds like the laziest of all spiritual practices. I doubt I would be able to use it as an action verb to get out of house chores, like, sorry, Leah, I can't help clean the boys' room. I'm being watchful of the Ohio State-Michigan game. But there's obviously more going on here, and our passage from the book of Romans can help us. Many view the book of Romans as the Apostle Paul's most complete attempt at a systematic theology, a letter that describes Paul's understanding of what faith in Jesus Christ looks like. This perspective, however, often causes readers to forget that this letter was written to a specific group of Jewish and pagan Christians living in Rome in the middle of the first century to address specific issues. Two are important here. First, Paul is addressing community in this letter. The founding of the early church in Rome was fittingly cosmopolitan. Jews lived in Rome and pagans heard of the teachings of Paul, heard about Jesus, and heard from his disciples, and had come to believe in salvation through this person, Jesus of Nazareth. But Jews were expelled from Rome in 49 based on trumped-up charges of insurrection. The early Christian movement continued in Rome, but developed differently during this time. When the Jewish Christians were allowed to return, they found their community had changed. Many of the traditions, practices, and areas of focus in their faith practice had been dropped or reformulated. So much of Paul's letter to the Roman church calls on this community that has come back together after some time apart to be reunited, to work together, and to live in harmony. The second issue that Paul addresses in the letter is an issue that much of the early church all over the Mediterranean was struggling with by the middle of the first century. This has to deal with the second coming of Jesus. For early Christians believed that Jesus would return from heaven very soon and usher in a new kingdom of God on earth. This was a common hope, particularly among those early believers that suffered at the hands of a brutal Roman Empire. Early Christian believers in Rome, for example, had been expelled, brought up on false charges, tortured, and murdered at the hands of the empire. To hope in a future where God would somehow set all things right kept people living. It gave them hope. But it had been over 20 years since Jesus walked the earth, and folks were becoming disillusioned with the notion that Jesus would come back soon. Salvation, it turned out, would look different than how they first thought. Sensing this issue, Paul nudges these believers a little. Live as if Jesus is coming back any day, but participate in your own salvation. Stay focused, live responsibly. Honor and avoid excessive behavior. Get along with one another. Live life the way Jesus did. You know, I like the message's translation of the passage from Romans, especially during the month of December. Make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of time and doze off, oblivious to God. We are nearly a year away from last Christmas and New Year's, a time when we probably set a few goals for our lives, maybe a few New Year's resolutions. Perhaps through some hard work and good fortune, we were able to hit on a few of those goals and resolutions. What's also likely is that our goals and resolutions got tangled up in the messy web of day-to-day obligations. The diet got lost when we gave up lunch regularly to get a little bit more work done. The regular calls to family members got lost when schedules changed and we didn't follow through. Exercising got lost because of an injury or lapsed gym membership or because we were being a little too watchful. The promise of reading more got lost when we were so tired by the end of the day that every time we picked up our book, we got a sentence in, we fell asleep. Just as some examples, these are just examples. But sometimes life throws curveballs and nasty sliders. You know, we struggle with an unexpected illness. A relationship breaks. A loved one is lost. Some part of our life got too expensive. And those lofty goals we had, those noble things that we aspire for, got lost somewhere along the way. This is not new. And this common human experience of letting ourselves down or being let down is addressed by our faith during the season of Advent. Because the Christian faith seems to be really obsessed about the future. Our scriptures are filled with promises of a coming justice and peace, a future of righted wrongs, and a soon and very soon time when the dignity of all people will be honored and cherished. Christianity is hope, writes the influential Christian theologian Jürgen Moltmann. It is forward-looking and forward-moving, and therefore revolutionary and transforming in the present. And because our faith is hopeful, or is hope, or looks a lot like hope, it is able to imagine a life, a world, a situation that is a little better than this present one. How important it was for those early Christians that faced a harsh and violent world to have hope. How important for us as well, who face all the hurts and scars and limitations of human existence. Whatever we are stuck in, things can change, and for the better. Whatever our hurt is, there is healing. The places where injustice and corruption seem to hold power can be turned on their head. And this is what Advent is about. Regaining a little hope that God is able, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through each of us and through countless others, to bring about something new, something good in this world. May we find our hope this Advent. May we realize that we are part of a better future. And may we work this week to make this world a little better. Amen.